Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Usako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polovni. Točno o poldan.
Drage poslušalke, poslušalci, dobrodošli v današnji ediciji Južne hemisfere. To je oddaja, v kateri se ukvarjamo z problemi južno-severnega povratnika, tokrat pa je na sceni elektronika, torej elektronski odpadki. Na zahodu smo postali vešči uporabniki najnovejših tehnologij, najnovejših mobitelov, menjujemo jih vsake dve leti, medtem ko pač nam naročnik obnavlja pogodbo. To pa mora vse nekje končati. In to končajo točno tam, na južni hemisferi. Elektronski odpadki imajo vseeno veliko, relativno veliko vrednost, v njih se nahajajo redke kovine in redke zemlje, vendar jih je na zahodu neekonomično reciklirati. To je predvsem zaradi tehnološkega, težavnega tehnološkega procesa in seveda neobstoječih zakonskih zapovedi. Te stvari se sicer spreminjajo, o tem bomo večkrat drugič, vendar se ta izvoz odpadkov vseeno dogaja v tretjem svetu. Do nedavno sta tukaj prednjačili Kitajska in Indija. Prva predvsem zato, ker zaradi njene lakote, velike lakote po surovinah, medtem ko je Indija polna podjetnih ljudi, ki popravljajo in pretvarjajo to, kar na zahodu zavržemo, v ponovno uporabne stvari. Danes pa prihaja oziroma ekonomija išče nove delovne sile, cenejše vire delovne sile v afriškem kontinentu. Javnost je morda že seznanjena z pojavom odlaganja jedrskega odpada na obali Somalije, kjer to počne italijanska mafija Andrangheta. Malce manj znano pa je, da v državi Cigane odlagamo velike količine elektronskih odpadkov. In ravno v Gano smo poklicali uslužbenca Združenih narodov in tamkajšnjega aktivista, ki lovi odpadke. To je Mike Anane.
What is the waste situation in Ghana? What's the who is dumping the waste and which countries, which companies have you identified in so far?
Ghana at this moment has become the dumping grounds for electronic waste from most industrialized or developed countries. We can mention Holland, the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, Australia, Denmark, Sweden, I mean, you name it, almost all the industrialized countries are dumping their electronic waste in Ghana. And most of these wastes come from schools, they come from medical institutions, they come from the police service, they come from banks. They come from various organizations in these countries abroad.
And what is the legal status of this waste? Insofar I have heard that it is classified as second-hand goods in terms of bridging the informational divide between the first and third world countries.
Right. Now, these things are disguised. You know, they are disguised. Whenever they are sent in, they are labeled second-hand functioning electronic equipment. But when you examine them, you would realize that about 80% of the so-called second-hand functioning electronic equipment, such as computers, television sets, and all electronic gadgets, are just waste. They are junk. They are garbage. They are not supposed to be sent to any other country because they cannot be reused, you know. The bottom line is that the industrialized countries do not want these equipment again because they contain so much toxic chemicals. And Africa, and Ghana for that matter, should have these electronic waste. But the point is that Ghana does not have any recycling facility to recycle or properly dispose of the waste. So it is illegal dumping, which these countries are just involved in. And a lot of the countries send these things to Ghana as, of course, as I said, secondhand function equipment meant to bridge the digital divide. But no digital divide is being bridged because the equipment simply do not work.
So how is this waste being processed?
When these things are brought into the country, they are just dumped in the open air. Some would go into the shops, the ones that with the exterior or the ones that externally look good. There are businessmen in Ghana who would want to sell equipment that is working or functioning. You know, so they go to the port and whoever brings these things in would sell some to them, but they are sold to these businessmen untested. Then the rest that look very bad, like broken monitors, broken glass, would go straight to the e-waste dump site, where they are broken apart by children, some as young as 5. They burn, they break these things, they smash them with stones, and some end up in the lagoons and the rivers, destroying the environment and public health.
So if I understand correctly, these e-waste sites, they're just open places where the waste is being dumped. These are not controlled sites.
No, these are not controlled sites. These are wetlands or places that are remote, you know, that people don't go so much. And it is just dumped there because it is a wetland. Nobody wants to build a house there. Nobody really cares about these lands. They're open air dumps, you know, in remote places. The Agbogbloshie dam site, which is a major one, is in the city, but it is still a wetland, very remote part of the city. So that's what it is. It is not a controlled dam site with people regulating. No, that is not the case at all.
I have seen some disturbing images, like you were traveling with a journalist and you were walking through, I consider these main parts of the city, and there were plumps of smoke rising. So actually, this waste is being burned in the vicinity of the civil population.
Exactly. The waste gets burned right in the city, and the plumes of smoke go into the atmosphere 24 hours daily, every single day. Of course, polluting the air and poisoning people. It is a major public health threat.
I don't have the exact information, but you are filing you are suing the waste disposers at the United Nations. So what is your case against them?
It is illegal, according to the Basel Convention, to dump electronic waste in other countries. The Basel Convention prohibits the transboundary movement of hazardous waste. The shipment of hazardous waste to other countries is illegal and forbidding. So all these countries are liable, all these countries that I have identified, and also the companies behind the waste dumping, and also the companies, institutions, and organizations that used these equipment. They should be responsible and should have a responsible policy that says that when their computers and television sets come to their end of life, they would responsibly recycle or dispose of these things. So the countries are liable, the companies, the waste companies that are supposed to recycle are liable, and also the users, the institutions of these companies are also liable legally. It would definitely be part of a suit.
So as a national of a country that is being the recipient of the electronic waste, do you consider that our industry in the first world is being... responsible at disposing the waste, or is this a really common process that everything is just being dumped in the third world?
Yes. Now, my research and investigations over the years indicate that as a result of the enormous toxic chemicals in electronic waste, the developed countries, the industrialized countries, don't want to touch it. When you take the ordinary monitor, for instance, it contains between 4 to 8 pounds of lead. And not just lead, cadmium, brominated flame retardants, mercury, and so on and so forth. You know, so these countries don't want to have anything to do with it. That is the reason why they irresponsibly ship them to Africa, where there is so much ignorance, where the laws are lax, the laws just don't exist. You know, so these countries are being very irresponsible, and they are violating laws relating to human rights and also the environment, and of course the Basel Convention.
What's your feeling on the situation? You know, how does that make you feel? Like, if you could put up a personal impression of your experience.
The illegal dumping of e-waste in my country makes me very sad, makes me very worried, and makes me very angry, you know, because I know the toxicity of these chemicals is detrimental to the health of children and also detrimental to the health of communities, not only adjacent the e-waste dump sites, but the entire human population in Ghana and beyond. Because the e-waste ends up in the lagoons, the rivers, and obviously they end up in the sea, which is not far away. We are poisoning the sea, we are poisoning the fish that we all eat from. The sea is a global commons. We all share the sea, and we should not be destroying the sea. We should not be destroying air quality. We should not be destroying the land that feeds us. Basically, I am sad, worried about the future, and very, very angry. The developed countries would have to be responsible and would have to put an end to the illegal e-waste dumping in Ghana.
To je bil Mike Nane iz Ghana. Zdaj pa poslušamo komad Polio skupine Staff Benda Belili.
Mama botanga malamu Polio ebe disanga Tala lelo yo na koma moto na velo na koma kotambola na nzete na koma moto na bakane babeki ye 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 ye. Banana bango, bakatisa mangwele, mangwele ya polio melite, mangwele ya buka buka. Paparan baye baka, bakatisa ngaike lasi.
Nahajamo se v drugem delu oddaje Južna hemisfera, v kateri odkrivamo, kje končajo naše elektronske odpadki, ki jih tako radi kupujemo nove in zavržemo stare. To je vsa tista elektronika, mobiteli, računalniki in vse ostalo, kar je tako atraktivno v sodobnem času. Da vse skupaj malo ravnotežimo, potem ko smo poslušali pogovor z Majkom Ananejem iz Gane, smo se tokrat pogovarjali z Aleksandrom Hropotom, bolje znanim pod vzdevkom Quattro, novinarjem računalniškega zabavnika Joker. Stališče zahodnjaka nam razloži, kakšne okoliščine ustvarjajo te pogoje, zaradi katerih se odvažajo odpadki v južno hemisfero. In tudi z tehnološko-ekonomskega vidika nam pojasni, zakaj obstaja upanje za pravičnejši jutri. Torej, Aleksander Hropot Quattro.
Kot so med elektronske odpadke šteli predvsem računalnike, danes pa prihaja do tega razcveta mobilnih telefonov oziroma te elektronike, ki jih menjujemo na vsake dva meseca, mislim vsake dve lete. Lahko poveš kaj več o tem, kakšen je ta trend, zakaj smo na zahodu takšni?
Ko smo dosegli tisto, da je sama tehnologija dovolj dobra, da jo ni treba non-stop nadgrajevati, ne? Zato se je mogoče tudi malo zmanjšala količina odpadkov. Poleg tega smo tudi zamenjali tehnologije, ne vem, CRT monitorje so zamenjali, LCD-ji in podobne zadeve, ki so, bom rekel, dlje zdržijo in jih brez problema lažje uporabljamo dovolj časa, da ne postanejo tako hitro odpadek, tudi kot backup. Medtem, ko recimo, če se spomnimo starih monitorjev pa televizorjev s katodnimi cevmi, noter so bile razne strupene snovi, noter je bilo zlatoga dost in podobne zadeve in so bili vseeno tudi še vedno zanimivi za sam, bom rekel, ta salvič, ne? Se pravi recikliranje dejanskega odpada.
Zdaj, vemo, marsikateri uporabnik, tudi jaz vem, da hitro potem, ko poteče garancijski rok računalnika, poteče tudi pač njegova uporabnost, oziroma preprosto crknene. Ali je tu upravičena ta slutna, da je elektronika zasnovana tako, da se z garancijskim rokom izteče tudi njeno življenje?
Ne bi rekel. V bistvu gre bolj za to, da ker so stvari pratale predmet splošne potrošnje. Ne? Se pravi, računalnik zdaj kupiš lahko v Sparu ali pa v Tušu ali pa v Hoferju, ne? Da dejansko pri tako veliki proizvodni, bom rekel, se tudi tisti delež računalnikov, ki se prej pokvarijo, oziroma same tehnologije, ki se prej pokvarijo, ustrezno večji v absolutnih številkah. Ne? Ni, da bi podjetja dejansko planirala, da bi nek produkt zastaral, razen pač v, bom rekel, specifičnih primerih, kjer dejansko planirajo, da bo, ne vem, z nekim določenim letom nastopila nova tehnologija in zato planirajo, da bi se določena tehnologija pač preprosto iztekla. Ne? Ker vidimo pa, da še vedno obstaja računalniki, ko že delujejo, ne vem, po 10, po 20 let, ne? Ampak ena stvar je tudi tržišče recimo za končnega uporabnika, za domačega uporabnika, ki ima neko napravo doma, druga stvar so pa recimo je pa raba v podjetjih, ne? Kjer dejansko še vedno vidimo računalniki, strežnike, ki tudi po 10 in več letih delujejo, pa ne zato, ker bi bili bolj kvalitetno izdelani, ampak preprosto zato, ker so, bom rekel, v bolj kontroliranem okolju, ne? Je pa tudi tukaj, bom rekel, malo obnašanje nas posameznikov, ki, bom rekel, dost manj cenimo tiste naprave, ki jih kupimo. Ne? Ker naprave so zdaj dosti cenejše v primerjavi z, ne vem, če pogledamo tudi 10 let nazaj, vse tipičen računalnik tipičnega, ne vem, srednjega ali pa visokega razreda stane enako. Ne? Ampak zraven imamo še pa toliko cenejših alternativ, da o tem več ne razmišljamo kot o nekem izdelku, na katerega je treba paziti, ampak ga kot običajno komoditeto uporabljamo. Zato mislim, da se tudi delež samih defektov povečuje.
Situacija glede recikliranja v Sloveniji je razmeroma urejena, oziroma pač ta podjetja so dokaj nadzorovana. Če pogledamo vseeno globalno, pa je v preteklosti prihajalo do veliko izvoza na Kitajsko in Indijo, ker se to ponovno uporabljala, ta rabljena oprema naša. Danes pa govorimo že o izvozu v Afriko. Zakaj prihaja do teh trendov?
Do treh trendov prihaja v glavnem zaradi, bom rekel, cene same delovne sile, drugo pa tudi zaradi potreb in povpraševanja. Ne? Se ni zdaj, da bi mi z veseljem nekaj izvažili v Afriko. Našli so se pač eni, ki so se odločili, da bojo tam odprli tovarno, da bodo dobili ustrezno poceni delovno silo, hkrati pa to tudi ne pomeni, da ne gre velik delež še vedno v Kitajsko pa v Indijo. Ne? Je pa bolj zanimiv pristop tu, da so se razni proizvajalci, sploh pri mobilni opremi, ne? odločajo za nek ta klasen način recikliranja, kjer, če vidite, se tudi naši operaterji ponujajo, da prinese stari telefon nazaj, pa dobi za to popust pri novem in ko zberajo te stare telefone, jih dejansko pošljajo proizvajalcu, proizvajalci jih očisti, pregleda in jih dejansko plasira na neke, na neka tržišča tretjega sveta, ker so naprave še vedno čisto uporabne. Ne? Smo pa tukaj spet, bi rekel, malo krivi uporabniki zato, ker se zdaj pač na mobilnem trgu vedno ženemo za tistim najboljšim, najbolj kulskim, najbolj frajerskim in telefon, ki je star 2 leta, nam je, se počutiš zastarelega. To je pa spet malo krivda marketinga.
To je torej bil Aleksander Hropot Quattro, novina računalniškega zabavnika Joker. Vi pa se nahajate, oziroma zaključujemo, oddajo Južna hemisfera. V naslednjih tednih bomo to področje dodatno raziskali, verjetno se bomo ukvarjali s tem vodaj Zeitgeist, v kateri bomo raziskovali, kako je to v Evropi zakonodajno urejeno in kako se predelovanje tovrstnih odpadkov lotevamo v Sloveniji. Z Južno hemisfero sem se ukvarjal Luka Tetičkovič.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.